your Bibles to John 15, if you will. Did I tell everybody tonight's Trail of Treats? Trail of Treats tonight. We need all hands on deck. Y'all can start helping as soon as I get through preaching. We'll all start the flurry of activity for the day. I'm serious about what I said. I really want us to get this. And y'all hear this teaching a lot in this house about everything that we do is we do it unto the Lord, and we do it with the love of Jesus. That's worship. Everything that Chris Bridges did this week in preparation for the Trail of Treats was worship. Every bag of candy that you wrapped up, that's worship. And I want us to recognize it as so and put the proper weight on it. Because we tend to kind of blow through life and we put different weights on different things. And I agree that some things are weightier than other things. But I want you to live in this present reality that every move that I make is while He created me as a free moral agent, every move that I make is my steps are orchestrated as part of this beautiful design that He has for my life. And He comes in, and at the wedding last night, they had a Bible laid out, which was, it was pretty cool, and it was like, with this, box of, highlight pens, and it said, highlight your favorite scripture for Eric and Ricky, and me and Eric were fighting over Isaiah 60, so I just went in, and I just highlighted, circled the whole chapter. And I said, these are God's promises to us. And I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about to us. And when we understand that God desires to be married to every aspect of our life, to everything we do, and we understand that, and we walk in the fullness of that, then it becomes light, then it becomes easy, then it becomes a non-burdensome thing. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So tonight this morning I want to come in and just kind of release something that I'll be developing more. Obviously, we're not going to take the time to try to do it all today. We would be here all day. But I want to kind of just launch something, and it's bringing, I hope, some understanding to what God's doing right now in our midst. If I could put sometimes Senior asks me, what's the title of the sermon so that I can put it on the podcast. And I don't know if this would be the title of this would be Loving Well, or if it would be Miserable in God's Will. Because I look at the church, and so much of the church that I see, I liken to the story of Jonah. And everybody knows that Jonah was one of the Old Testament individuals. He was, considered a prophet of the Old Testament. And God, without going in and spending time there this morning, God basically told him, I want you to go and preach revival in Nineveh. And it was actually going to be declared judgment, but that judgment was going to turn into revival when it was rightly responded to. And we know the story that Jonah didn't want to go because he didn't like the Ninevites. Nineveh was a city of 120,000 people. The Bible tells us how many people lived in Nineveh, and that day that was a lot of people in one city. There were 120,000 people that lived there. And they were living wickedly, and they were oppressors of Israel. And God said, I'm going to bring judgment on them. But He said, I want to show mercy, and I want to give them opportunity to repent. And so God came to Jonah, and He says, I want you to go and preach the Old Testament version of the gospel and give them an opportunity. And Jonah said, I don't want to. And so he fled from God. It said he fled from the face of God. We know the story of he got on a cargo ship, and a great storm came, and everybody started saying, man, back then they said that the gods were in control of things. And so if there was a storm that was, the ship was in danger, somebody must have angered one of the gods. And so they drew straws, cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And Jonah knew the whole time that he was running from God and everything. And so the lot fell on Jonah, and they said, man, who are you? What's your occupation? I love it. A bunch of men, the first thing they ask is, what do you do? You know, they said, and it's like, what's your occupation? We're in the middle of a storm. We're all dying. What's your occupation? What are you doing? And all of this stuff. And he says, I'm a Hebrew and I fear God. And I believe God and I trust God. I think he's in there. He says, I trust God. But he said, I'm running from God because he wanted me to do something. I didn't want to do it. And he said, best thing y'all can do, man, is just cast me overboard. And we know the story. They ultimately did. They didn't want to, but he said, just cast me overboard. And they chunked him overboard, and the great fish swallowed him. He spent 3 days in the belly of the great fish, and he cried out to God, and we see him crying out to God. And God commanded the great fish to spit him on the spit him on the shore. So he spit him on the shore. And then God came to him again and says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach our version of the gospel to them and see if they'll repent. And this time Jonah said, okay. And so he went, but he didn't go with the right heart. He didn't go with the right, he didn't go with the love of the Father. And he went and he preached the gospel, and guess what happened? They repented. I mean, just like, he knew what was going to happen. That's why he didn't want to go. He said, doggone it, I knew you were going to extend mercy to them. I knew because you're such a great God and your message is so great, then when people get under the influence of it, it's going to have an effect on them. So even the king, man, they started, he said he laid out off all of his robes and set in sackcloth and ashes, and they repented to God, declared a fast. And so God came in and he released mercy. And his judgment was abstained. And it ticked off Jonah. It did. It made him mad. He's like, doggone it, I knew that was going to happen. And he was in the middle of God's will, but he was miserable being there because he didn't have what we've been experiencing and what God is trying to soak us in and to rain on us is I feel like a baptism of love. I made reference to that a while back. Marty talked about it last Sunday. Is that he is wanting to come in and he's wanting to release a love into us, and it starts with us understanding his love for us, because if I don't understand who I am in him and his love for me, then I can't love the world rightly. Because the word says to love thy neighbor as thyself. Y'all been hearing this a lot. Y'all been hearing it from Bill Johnson. Y'all been hearing it from Damon Thompson. Y'all been hearing it out of this house. Seems like everywhere you turn, that's what I'm hearing. It's beloved identity. And understanding that I am loved by God, that he's not. Marty talked last week and he said, I knew him as judge for 20 years and then I came to know him as Papa. And when I came to know him as Abba and understood his love, it changed everything. And God wants to transform us by us receiving, understanding his love for us, and then we can take that and then release that into the earth. And that's what changes things. So I'm going to read a couple verses of scripture. I'm going to share a brief testimony, and then we're going to pray and leave. But we're starting some stuff today. And so let me throw this out there. We're in John 15. This is one of the most significant, profound chapters in all of the Bible. All of them are significant, but this is a, man, this one's good. And I'm going to start in verse 9. Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He has washed their feet. He has taken communion with them. He's revealed that I'm about to become the sacrificial lamb. I'm about to be crucified. One of you is going to betray me. And then he comes in and he promises them the Holy Spirit. So, man, we got some thick stuff going on in here. I mean, some thick stuff. You think about it, if you've only got a few hours and he had only a few hours with his disciples in that state, and you wanted to leave a lasting imprint message on them, it's not going to be fluff. It's going to be significant. You know, it's like, what's the last thing you told Hunter before he shipped off? It was probably, I want to make sure he knows I love him. And I'm here for him and I believe in him. And that's probably some of the last things that came out of your mouth is I want him to hear this. I want him to hear this. And so Jesus is laying this heavy stuff on me. Give them the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's releasing peace into them. He said, I'm giving my peace unto you. And then he comes in and he starts talking about the vine and the branches in chapter 15. And in verse 9, this is where I really want to hang our hat on four verses right in here. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. All right? As the Father has loved me, in order for me to rightly love you guys as part of this kingdom family in here, I have got to understand the Father's love for me. When I understand the Father's love for me, when I understand His desire for me, when I understand that I am His pleasure, I'm a prize to Him. I'm a pearl to Him. I'm a jewel to Him. I'm significant to Him. And we have a hard time understanding that because we know ourselves and we know our sins and we know our corruptness and all of that stuff. And so it's hard for us to believe that God really loves us. But when He begins to penetrate that into our heart, when He begins to lift the scales off of our eyes, where we know and feel the absolute love and beloved status of the Father, then that's the game changer. It changes everything. And Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. As He has loved me, so I will love you. As He has loved you, so you will love your children. As He has loved you, so you will love the world. I don't know how many times the word love is in the Gospels. I need to do a word study on that, but it is like probably the most used word. Because it's who He is. And He comes in and He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See, I grew up looking in church, and most of the Christians I knew were miserable. I don't know about you guys, but it was, you know, the whole mantra that I grew up in. I'm not talking about in my home. I'm talking about in church life. Is I'm going to be a good soldier for God. Anybody heard that phrase 1,000 times besides me? I didn't say before. I said 1,000. And if you didn't grow up in that, then you're blessed. But that was the mindset. I'm just a soldier in the kingdom, and I want to be a good soldier in the kingdom. But the thing about a soldier is a servant. And he said, I don't call you servants anymore. In this, he said, now I call you friends. And that evolves into sons, and that evolves into bride status. That's ultimately where we are right now. Is the bridal status. He's singing over us. Not as a good servant, not as a good soldier, not as a good man. I've got all these Christian duties and all of this. God wants to shift your whole mindset and your whole way of thinking in the way that you relate to church life and the way you relate to the world. He wants to shift it, totally shift it. If tonight and the preparations that go in tonight is a drudgery for you and you're sitting there saying, man, I know we got to do it. I know it's a good thing. But golly, I dread this and all of that stuff. You need a shift. You need a shift. You need a shift. And it comes, I feel like, with the love of the Father that He releases into us. And He says right here, look, let me read this again. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Do y'all not feel like the story of Jonah is a really sad story? To me it is. If you're a Ninevite, that's awesome. You avoided judgment and you came and, embraced Yahweh. And you ask Him to forgive you. It said they turned from their evil doing and all that stuff. Great story in that sense. But that's sad. That's not what I see as far as my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reason that doing kingdom life, and I use that term loosely in this sense, the reason that kingdom life wears people down is because they view it more as a task instead of the joy that's set before me. They view, and I've done that before. I'm like, man, I got to preach Sunday. So I got to prepare. And the pressure that comes with it and all that stuff. Not in a while. But I'm just saying in my 30-year career, I've been to those places where it was duty. I've been to those places where I know it's God's will and I'm in the middle of God's will, but I'm miserable in the middle of God's will. And God said, I want my joy to be in you. When worship becomes amazing is when worship and practice is amazing. And I know you got to work out stuff. But when I come in here on Sunday morning and the practice time is off the chain, I'm like, ooh, it's going to be good today. It's going to be good today. Because you're not practicing, you're worshiping. There's a joy in that. There's a joy in that. When your giving becomes that joy. And the thing that releases the joy in this is His love. It all comes back to His love. Let me hit a couple more things, and I'm gonna give you just a real quick 5-minute testimony about some stuff that's recently happened to me. It's awesome, and I think some of you will connect with it. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. All right, now look at this. Without getting into too much of a expository word study on this, He says that my joy might remain in you. That tells me you can lose your joy. That tells me you can lose your joy. We sang about it with that last song. It is getting back to the simplicity of the gospel, the purity of the gospel, the joy just being in His presence. The thing that my wife says to me that thrills me the most, Marvin, is every once in a while she'll, and I know it's sincere coming from her heart, every once in a while she'll drop the statement of, I don't care what we do as long as I'm with you. I just want to be with you. And it doesn't matter if I'm dragging her off some other side of the world or if we're doing something real mundane and working on a fence in Corinth, Georgia. And when she says, I just want to be with you, you know what that does? That speaks volumes to me. That tells me I don't have to entertain her. And I don't have to prop her up and I don't have to do all of these things because I've got her heart and she's got my heart. And in this, He says, my joy is in you. You've got that joy in your salvation experience. You've got that joy in these other experiences, but it's something that you can lose. And I think so much of the church is they've, you know, in the letters to the churches in Revelation, what does He tell them? He counts all of these things against him, but then he comes in and he says, return to your first love. So he says, if you return to your first love, you'll recapture it. And there have been times I've had to go back to my first love with him. There have been times I've had to go back to the basics. There have been times where I just had to go back to the simplicity. I think that's one thing God's doing in this group of people right now is he's carrying us back to the simplicity of our faith. He's carrying us back to the simplicity of our faith. To where he's enough. And the good news of the gospel and all of that. I love meeting strangers and talking to strangers, and I hemmed somebody up last night for about 15 minutes, but it was so joyful because I was able just to release who we are as kingdom people. And it wasn't about what we do and all of that stuff. It was about the fact that we were kingdom people. And that if, you know, and I'm first time I've ever met this cat, and I'm sitting here releasing, you know, seek ye first the kingdom and all this stuff. It wasn't preaching. It was, I'm better than that. But that was in there. That if you'll honor God with your life and give him your heart, then he's going to add all of these things to you. And it was, you know, that was as significant a sermon as what I'm doing this morning. You know, maybe more significant. And so God, I really believe, is carrying us back to the simplicity and the basics of our faith. And the reason he's doing this is when we go back to those places, you know what it does? It allows our joy to remain, his joy to remain in us. And then he comes in and one other play right here is he said, and that your joy might be full. So that tells me that there is room for the joy in my life to continue expanding. You know, when God said, let there be light, I mean, scientists agree that the universe is constantly expanding, right? Everybody in science, any of y'all teach science, you know, it's constantly expanding. And it's because Jesus said, let there be light, and he released it out of his mouth at 186,000 miles a second. It's one fact I remember from science. 186,000 miles per second, and he never said stop, so it's still expanding. And I believe that the joy, the love, and the peace in our life does not have a ceiling. That the full thing keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it goes from a tall to a grande to a venti. And then it overflows. And I want my life to expand, the joy, the peace, the love in my life to expand at such a rate that as it is enlarging, that you guys are getting the overflow from that. And it's not a thing that I empty it out and then it gets more and I empty it out and then I get more and I empty out. And that's been our mindset. But he said that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Stay full, and then it's just an overflow. Tonight, the visitors that come, they're just going to get an overflow of what God's doing in us and what God's doing in you. It's an overflow. And so he's declaring this to them. And then he comes in, verse 12. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. It is impossible for me to properly love other people. It is impossible for me to properly love the world if I don't feel like I'm loved. If I don't receive the Father's love, if I view my life and say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace and all that, that is all that I will ever be able to view them. But if I come in and I understand and I embrace the fact that I am His beloved, then you know what it does? It creates a capacity in me to believe the same thing for Marvin. That I'm His beloved, but guess what? Marvin is too. And there's no lid to that in his life. There's no lid to that in their baby. There's no lid to that. And so, I really think that's where God's got us right now. And I think that's what God's doing right now. That we understand the fact that we are loved so we can love others in that way. Recently, I had I'm trying to pick my wording well here. Recently, I had situation's not really the right word, but I'll throw it out there. Recently, I had a situation that was coming up, and I already had preconceived ideas about people that I was going to be engaging in. And I know none of y'all ever do that. You immediately think, I'm going to like this person. I mean, you know, y'all look at celebrities and say, man, I think I'd like him. I think I could hang with him. I don't like her. She's a diva and all of this stuff. And we have these preconceived ideas. And it's really prejudices. It's really prejudices. And so I had preconceived ideas. Whether these ideas were accurate or not, it does not matter. But I had preconceived ideas. And some of the people I was going to be engaging, or they've got a different belief system than me, and they're not like me, and all of that. And I'll be honest with you, I was kind of like, oh, man, a little bit like Jonah. That's like, okay, God, you know, I'm gonna do what's in front of me and all that stuff. But there are aspects of it that I'm not real excited about. And so I had this drama going on in my head back and forth, and. None of y'all never have that, do you? Y'all all got it going on straight on. Y'all were like, you know what the Lord came and spoke to me? He said, these are His exact words. He said, I just want you to love them well. He said, I just want you to love them well. And so immediately when the Lord told me, I just want you to love them well, you know what happened? There was an immediate shift in me. And instead of being one of those where it's kind of like, all right, man, I'll do it. I know. I ain't feeling it. Immediately there was a shift when he said, I just want you to love them well. And all of a sudden my heart shifted. And these people that my preconceived ideas might have been correct about, they may have been correct, but it didn't matter to him. the people that didn't believe like me and think like me and all that, that I was going to be encountering and with in this situation, it didn't matter. Because he said, I just want you to love them well because I loved you well when you were against me. I loved you well when you opposed me. I loved you well when you said no to me. I loved you well when you were in rebellion against me. And as you have received, freely give. Come on. You start receiving. We talk about grace and mercy and salvation and love and all that. And he says, as you have received, this is what he told his disciples as he was sending them out. He says, freely you've received, so freely give. And now I won't say, as you've received, then you give. And so we get this unconditional love and we get this forgiveness and we get this grace. And when it starts clicking with us, because a lot of y'all are still postured such that you're not allowing God to love you well. He can only love you well if you allow Him to love you well, because you still view yourself as unlovable. And God's like, I don't view you like that. Some of our grandkids kind of go through phases to where they won't hardly let you hug them. You know, some of them will knock you down giving you a hug. You know, KK, I think she's going to be a fullback or something. I don't know, man. She will knock you down coming and giving you a hug. And Sydney Hannon, and she's the sweetest kid I've ever been around in my life. She absolutely is. I know she's my granddaughter, but she is the sweetest kid I've ever been around in my life. But getting a hug out of her is like pulling teeth. And I'm like, I just want to love you. I love you, but I really want to love you. I just want to hold you and squeeze you. Let you know how much, and we're like that with God. We're like, is Mary like that? Mary's kind of like, no, man, I'm good, you know, no touchy, we're okay, you know. That bodes well for future boyfriends, you know. I'll sit over here, but hey, keep them lips over there, buddy, right? Mary's like, really? Come on, dude. Nobody on podcast knows who Mary is. I mean, they don't know what's Mary House at Bremen High School. But we're like that with God. We don't let Him love us well. Because we view ourselves as dirty, as unclean, as unlovable. But when we start understanding that His love is so big and it's so deep and it's so pure and it's so holy and it's so righteous that it penetrates every bit of darkness in us. And that perfect love casts all that away. And when we start receiving that and understanding that, then all of a sudden our posture changes. Then all of a sudden our mindset shifts. And here's the thing, guys. When he came in and he told me, he said, I just want you to love them well. I knew exactly what he was talking about because we've been in this process. We've been in this baptism. He said, I want you to love them well. And what he was saying is, I want you to love them the way I loved you. The way that I love you. The way that I want you to love them the way I love them. And so it shifted everything with me. It absolutely shifted everything. And here's what happened out of that shift. Not only did I understand what he was saying, not only did I view them through that lens and it shifted and that I was in a proper alignment with him, but it caused me, it released something in me to where I felt what he was feeling toward them. These people that did not think like me, did not believe like me, were not embracing life, that I was the way I was embracing life and all of that stuff. Now all of a sudden, instead of me coming in and being cordially nice on a superficial level, it caused me to love them. Y'all remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus? And he came up and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the word said that Jesus looked on him and he loved him. And he knew this kid was not going to sell everything he had and give it to the poor and follow him. He knew he was going to say no to that. But Jesus looked on him and he loved him. He genuinely loved him. He loved him. And it caused me to not only get in proper alignment with God, but it caused me to feel about them the way that he felt about them. And so when I was interacting with these people, you know what they felt? That's what they felt. That's what penetrates walls. If I had come in and been superficially, cordially nice, you guys know what that feels like. That's the way we are in a business meeting, Eric. We have a business meeting with somebody, we're superficially, cordially nice. Hey, how you doing? I'm Sid Garner. Good to see you. What do you do for a living? That's awesome. And in my 5-minute superficial thing, usually my mind is starting to trail off and go somewhere else. And it's like, how can I polite? Yeah, I know y'all don't never do this, but how can I politely break off this conversation? Because I've about done all the extent of a shallow conversation that I can do. But if I'm sitting there and I start feeling like the Father feels, feel what He feels, and it starts coming through, then all of a sudden the 5-minute conversation turns into a 15-minute conversation, and it could go for hours because it feels that right. It feels that right. It feels that right. And you know what that did? When I started feeling what the Father was feeling. Now listen to this. This is good. This is where it starts getting really good. That unlocked and opened a gate to where, when I was traveling to this thing, I so got messed up in the Holy Ghost concerning the people that I was going to be around. And I believe what the gate that opened, and you know what word the Lord kept in my spirit, what I kept feeling, what I kept hearing, what I kept seeing, is possibilities and possibilities. And I got intoxicated on the possibilities of His heart over their life. And I'm sitting here messed up in Him. Because now not only do I feel what He feels about them, but I know His mind toward them. He said, I know my thoughts toward you. And they're thoughts of blessing, they're thoughts of hope, they're thoughts of abundant life. I'm on a New Testament paraphrase it. My thoughts for you are abundant life. And because I came in, and He said, love them well. And I said, yes, I will love them well. And I knew what His thoughts toward that was. And I said yes to that and got under that alignment. Then that caused me to feel what the Father was feeling. And then that opened the gate that caused me to understand what the Father was thinking about them. So you know what that did? That released me to fully love them well. See, we can love well in part, but when we start going through those gates, then we can fully love well. And it doesn't matter if it's somebody told, you know, the biggest people that I'm prejudiced against right now? Liberals. I'm serious. Because they don't think like me. I'm not prejudiced against racists. Going to other countries and all of that, man, you start traveling and it will knock out a lot of your prejudices. Usually we're prejudiced when we're living our little small bubble. But you start traveling and it knocks out those prejudices. And you start seeing things through a bigger lens. You start seeing things the way that God sees things. And you start feeling with His heart and all that stuff. That's how we're going to transform Honduras, Marty, Krista. It's when we start down that journey. God gave me just a little bit of glimpse of this. But when we start down that journey on a big scale, and He says, I just want you to love them well, and that's why I love you guys so much, because y'all love well. But when He starts saying, I just want you to love them well, and you get in proper alignment with that, those folks feel that, and they dig that. The greatest thing that y'all bring, the greatest thing that we bring when we go down there, is we bring the love of the Father. And it's not, this is my gospel and hear it and convert, and you know, like the Spanish Inquisition where they're coming in and they're saying, convert or die. That's what we grew up in. Convert or burn in hell. And hell is real and it is eternal separation from God, but God doesn't come in and say, I want you to convert out of fear of going to hell. If hell was not in the equation, if hell was not a reality, it would not change my lifestyle one bit. I would keep living exactly the way I'm living. If heaven was not a reality and hell was not a reality and this is all there was, it would not change my lifestyle one bit. You're like, shoot, would me, man. I'd be living it up and having a big time. I'm having the time of my life right now. And as I get deeper in this thing, and I get messed up driving down the road in the F-250 and tears welling up in my eyes about stuff that God totally changed and shifted my mindset and my posture about, because His love came in. His love came in. And it wasn't a greater measure of sin's love, because that's, but it's His love. He says, love each other the way I've loved you. Love the world the way I've loved you. And the thing that causes my container to get bigger is because I'm on this journey into how much He loves me and cares about me. And that makes my vessel get larger. It makes my wineskin expand so He can put new wine in it. It makes it supple. Makes it large. And I'm telling you guys, When we come in and we say yes to this journey, it is radically going to change the way that we do life concerning each other, the way we do life concerning the world. And we're going to see it start having an impact. We're going to see it start having an impact because it's the love of the Father. And we won't run around being miserable in God's will. It will free you up in a place of joy. It'll free you up in a place of joy. I wrote down one thing. I'm going to say this and then we're going to be done. In John 15:11 that I read a while ago, He said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And the Greek word for joy, it means cheerfulness, calm delight. I love that. Calm delight. Calm delight, gladness. When you listen tonight, when we're down here in the woods and the kids are running around, and I know they're on a sugar high, I get you. You know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear cheerfulness. You're going to hear calm delight, and then gladness. That's His joy. You think it's just for mature Christians, and boy, after I've been doing this for 30 years, that's when this stuff's going to start kicking in. Mm-mm. I'm believing it over the, all these little kids. I'm believing it over them right now. I'm believing it over your children right now. I'm believing it over your grandchildren right now. Is that the joy of the Lord will be full in them. And that they are, see, what we do, what the world does, is we dumb it out of them. Because right now, when they're born, and from the time they start getting their little identity and all of that stuff and their personality and everything, you know what they are? They're Superman. You got a Superman shirt on this morning. Marty's wearing a Superman shirt. That's cool. I dig that. I dig that. I may preach in a Captain America t-shirt one day. Would y'all be all right with that? I'm the answer to the world. What I possess in me is the answer. And you're the answer to the world. And I'm the answer for Haiti. I'm the answer for Honduras. I'm the answer for the Eastern Bloc. I'm the answer for Sub-Saharan Africa. What I possess in me and what you possess in you, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. We don't have to convince our children that. How many of y'all's little girls dress up like princesses? They did. They still do. I don't know if they did. All my granddaughters, man, they're princesses. Now they're wanting to be Rey off of Star Wars too, though. Because they think it's cool that I can fight the enemy with a lightsaber. I think one of our booths is fighting with lightsabers tonight, which will be cool. Be careful you don't get decapitated with it. That's my weapon too, is a lightsaber. We could preach on that, couldn't we? My weapon's a lightsaber. I'm releasing light. And the light looks like His love. But my point is, as our children grow up thinking that they're special, they grow up thinking they're wonderful, they grow up thinking that they're awesome, they grow up thinking that they're superheroes, they grow up. I've made this statement before. I've never seen a little kid and they're dressing up like I'm gonna be a homeless person. Or I'm gonna be a meth addict. Society has to teach them that you're unimportant. We dumb them down and we say, you're not a princess. You live in Bremen, Georgia. You're not a superhero. You're Zealand Kent. You're Trevor House. We teach them that. And the Father says, let me teach them. I'm going to teach them that they're beloved. And I'm marrying myself to them. And there is no lid for their life. There is no lid for their life. There is no lid. No lid. Eyes not seen and ears not heard. The things that He has in store for us. For the world. But it's got to flow through us. So, this thing that God's baptizing so many of you in right now, this love identity, His love for you identity, it's so He can tell you to love them well and you know exactly what He means. And you can go out, Michaela, and you can release that to the world. And we say, well, I love my family. The Word says that the heathens, they love the people that love them. But He said, what's going to define us is how do we love the ones that don't think like us, that aren't aligned with us. They're not in the Christian coalition with me and all of this stuff. How do we love them? So tonight, what we're going to do? We're going to love well. What are we going to do? Love well. We're going to love well. Love well. Let's stand on our feet. Do what, baby?
Tyler, would y'all come up? We're not that late today. When he was talking about love and all this, you know, everybody knows we have the 5 grandkids, and Zealand and Caroline have outgrown it now, but they used to fight like cats and dogs. Like, it didn't take much, and those two would be, like, y'all think was worshiping, and I was down here breaking up fights, wouldn't we, Terry? They'd be fighting over something down here. And now it's Eden and Kennedy because of their age. They're 3 and about to be 4, and they're just that age where they don't understand that Gigi has enough love for both of them. So this morning we're up here, and y'all can start playing, and I'm just worshiping, and Eden's right here. She's the worst one. She really doesn't get it just yet. So she's right here on this side, and she's good, and she's loving. And I felt Kennedy come up to this side, and she was loving, and I felt this one leave. And I looked, and she was tears in her eyes sitting there because I had touched Kennedy. And she didn't like that. She doesn't understand yet that I have enough love for all of them. And I want you to understand that Father has enough love for all of us. This is not something reserved for whoever's on stage or whoever has the mic or whoever seems to be getting the most blessings this week. God has enough love for all of us. He is there for every one of us. And sometimes we look at others and think, I'm not feeling that. Start asking Him. Show me the love that you have for me, Father. Show me that love you have for me. And also, I was struggling whether it was time to release this word that the Lord showed me this week, but I think it is. So, some for somebody. When Moses, Damon preached this week, when Moses was leading the children out of Egypt, and they were at the Red Sea, that's good, and they were surrounded on every side. The Egyptians were coming after them. You had just every side. They were literally trapped. And when you've got Egyptians coming after, you've got to think, these men that were coming to battle had just lost their firstborn son by the death angel. They were mad. They were going to annihilate. They outnumbered them tremendously. They were going to annihilate these people. They had had enough. and they were coming for vengeance. And so you have these Moses and his, and they're like, what do we do? The men, they're anxious. They're wanting to, what do you want to do? As a man, you've got your family behind you. You're wanting to pick up stones, rocks, anything you can to fight back. As a mother, I'm putting my children behind me and I'm picking up stones and rocks and I'm going to fight back. And Moses said, God said, be still. Be still. And I feel like someone in here today, you feel like you may be trapped on all sides, that there is no hope. And the Father's saying, be still. Not only be still, because today you're going to see your salvation. And what's going to happen when I walk through, I'm going to part the Red Sea and you're going to walk through, and I'm going to annihilate the Egyptians. Not only is he going to rescue you, they're never going to chase you again. They're never going to chase you again. Never. Never, never. And you think, that's easy for you to say. Man, I've been in situations where I felt trapped on all sides for years. For years, where I think, we're not going to survive. We've got bills, IRS, on every turn that I've, in 2015, there, if you would see what we were walking through, you think, they're going to lose everything. But God spoke to us and he said, be still. He even told Sydney in January, this is your breakthrough year. 2016 went by and I'm like, Lord, this is still not feeling like breakthrough. You may go through seasons where you're like, Lord tells you, and you're like, I don't see it right now. I don't see that breakthrough right now. All I see is they're mad Egyptians coming after me. And right now you got to have that faith and that trust that he's going to deliver you this day. And when he says this day, here's the misconception. He doesn't go by our calendar. God had to steal our hearts in that season and put trust in our hearts in that season and put trust there that what he said is true. And what he said he's going to do, he will do. We have to have faith to walk it out. But it doesn't mean, me and Sydney, we didn't start selling things and doing all these things and panicking. When he said, be still, we were still. And he delivered us. He delivered us. And he will deliver you. He is faithful and just. He has enough love for you, just like he had for us. There's enough to go around for everyone. For everyone. So as we're just, I just want you, if that's you, just, you don't have to come. You go to him and say, Father, still my heart right now. If you feel trapped on every side and you feel no hope, I pray right now that Father would just show you that today is the day of your deliverance. And those things that are chasing you and got you trapped, they will no longer chase you anymore. Be still. Be still and know that I have love for you. I have love above and beyond anything that eyes seen or ears heard. He will do. He will do. Yes and amen. One time, Linda.